Well,
oh, shit, I should close my door. Sorry.
No, you get it.
One more thing. Welcome to Fueled by Lore, a podcast where we have all of our stuff together.
Go, that's the intro.
Yes.
Nailed it.
Perfect. All right. What are you drinking anyway? What is your tea of choice today, Patrick?
It's one of the Bigelow Calm stomach teas, yes.
There you go. I'm having a nice chamomile myself.
Mm-hmm. Chamomile with peppermint and ginger and all that other good stuff, so.
An adventure. What a day. Has today been interesting for you?
Kind of has. Just a lazy day. So
yes.
It's been a all the stresses that come with that, where so I'm not being productive enough, but I feel drained.
I'm relaxing. This is it. This isn't it.
Something's wrong. Something's missing.
I'm not... I was going to say, I'm not stressed, but you are stressed.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully... hopefully some all right stress, some anticipation for the oncoming Patty Mill adventures in... Mm-hmm. Should we just hop in? What's up, Let's, Patrick? We got we some stuff should. Going on.
Trying to restart the... kickstart the podcast back up again.
Ah, yes. About that. Life, man. Well, you've been busy as fuck, so there's that too. I guess...
I'll sit behind that excuse. That, yeah. Sure.
Well, okay, but, like, realistically, we both work. We both have, like, hobbies and pastimes and, like, social activities. And, listen, setting times to sit down and do anything is extremely difficult. Podcast. Dungeons and Dragons. General social gatherings.
Mm-hmm.
Not always a success. But that's okay, you know? We're allowed to sometimes miss appointments.
Yes, yes.
At least, you know, ones you know, that we won't die without.
I'll tell anyone that that's okay, but I will never look in the mirror and be like...
Right?
Yeah, it's okay that you messed up.
Oh, Patty.
I'll just be there and be like...
Hey, we didn't mess up. You didn't mess up. I didn't mess up. We're just living our fucking life. And, hey, we're back, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Sort of.
Oh, yeah. We'll get it rolling. We'll get it rolling.
Yeah. Yeah, just gotta push the boulder.
So, kind of to get things rolling again, we talked about doing, kind of revisiting our first two episodes where it was like me interviewing you and you interviewing me. So, just to let everybody know what's going on, all six of you.
They'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, because we have been sort of... floating in the lazy river for a minute. I shouldn't say lazy river. We've been... there's a reason we're exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, going back to our roots, because I feel like intermittent and even in the process of doing all the episodes we have and, like, meeting everyone that we have and talking about all of our projects, we've had a lot of time to reflect upon ourselves and our work and, like... get some shit done, maybe, and move forward in some stuff. And you've been chugging away, Mr. Mel. That face. Aw. Give yourself some credit. You've got... Tell the audience what's coming out tomorrow, the time that we're recording this.
So, I think, let's see. For sticking with Monday releases, about 4-5 days... ago, as of the time of this releasing, as of time of recording tomorrow, my EP Alaska and the accompanying music video, aptly titled White People Frolic in the Mountains, will be releasing everywhere, and it's the most on top of a release I've ever been on. So I don't know how to feel about it. I'm excited, and I'm also confused, to be completely honest. But it's four little songs, actually one of which, the titular track, there definitely is a live version of that one out on the Kyle Rocks Out show when we were a guest on there, and I played a few songs there. That was one of the ones that I played. So joke's on you guys. It's been released this whole time. You just have to dig through an hour and a half of audio to find the 2 minutes of it.
Worth it.
But yeah, so that's happening. And then also to celebrate, I have a very sweet little EP release show where it's taking place in Lafayette at Tier 2 Live. Very excited about that, where it's going to be me, backed by my wonderful, wonderful friends, the Banana Casuals, and Hannah Hansen as well, who plays trumpet on the EP. And then we're going to be supported by some awesome friends, Wendigo and Tercel. Wendigo is actually the band that I've been able to do some live audio recording for, and they are super, super cool. And Tercel is super cool. And Tercel is actually Ethan, who was our last episode that we did. He was our last guest. It's his band. So I've done a few shows with Ethan out with Dona. That's kind of how I made the connection to be able to go play in El Dorado Springs, which was a whole thing. So, yeah, I'm super excited for everything to kind of come together here at the end of the year. And I'm happy that I can stick to my, I guess, potentially kind of strange promise to myself that I'd release music every year, which I guess I'm sticking to. We got it.
You are making it happen. Whether you believe it or not, Patrick, it's happening. That sounds like a fucking banger of a party, though. Oh my god, my Hannah. Oh, I'm so proud of her. Well, I'm proud of you guys too, but I get so emotional. Well, let me do my interviewee part. Mr. Garner, how has this process been like for you, writing these new songs and exploring this new phase of you in this Alaska EP?
It's been exciting and super fulfilling. It's kind of, you know, the last EP that one was an interesting one because it was now I feel like I'm in more of like a, I guess, dare I say, kind of professional-ish production schedule now. Hmm. Whereas with that Misfire EP, so I wrote all those songs in 2019, basically from like March to October of 2019. And then I was like, oh, I'm ready to record, but then I kept putting it off. And then, you know, we got dropped into a pandemic and I was like, well, okay.
Yeah.
I guess I've got a lot of time to record here. And so I did. And so I finished recording that in quarantine. And at the same time, this is something that we kind of talked about and stuff with faith and everything and trying to keep creative and I guess kind of productive in a sense, which is not exactly the way that I like to word it, but here we are. We'll find a way to move around that verbiage or word or whatever. But
well, maybe I'll pause you and ask you, why are you so afraid to think that you're productive?
I think it's just that there's a huge pressure on, like, literally just like my plans for today are kind of to just chill, relax, maybe read, go climb, record a podcast, and then have band practice and stuff.
Not productive at all.
No, absolutely not. But still, it's just like, I feel like it's easy, at least for me, to kind of sit there and be like, oh, I'm going to plan to do X, Y, Z on my day off and kind of get stuff done. And then when I don't get to X, Y, or Z, I sit there and like kick myself. And I'm just like, oh, and then that, you know, helps feel like a potential like spiral. Mm. And some days I am able to just sit back and just kind of relax and be okay. But I think it's just that constant push and pull between I have all these things that I want to do. I can't like sit around and do nothing all the time, which I'm not doing, but in those moments, it does feel like that. And so it's just kind of, I don't know, I guess it's kind of like a snowball of pressure that I've built on myself, where it kind of just like culminates and culminates, and just like, oh, I can do better, I can be doing more. And the fact is that if I get stuck in that, which I do all the time, I can always do more. There's always more that I can be doing, just like I can always get better at something, I can always do better. And so it's just kind of, I don't know, trying to separate from feeling, you know, making being productive kind of like a want as opposed to something that's like a necessity. It's like, yeah, I don't need to be productive 24/7, but I feel like I do. And that's kind of where I want to like draw that line. So that's why I'm kind of iffy about it. But because I mean, it's like, yeah, I can be productive in like my hobbies and my climbing and stuff, but like that's stuff that I love to go do, and it like it has very positive benefits on my life, where like I'm happier, I get in better physical shape, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something that I genuinely enjoy. So
yeah, well, you're just not used to sitting still.
Mm-hmm.
At all. which is something I love about us, because we really are like so similar and yet so the opposite, because I love doing nothing. Like that's my pastime, is to just do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you should give yourself some credit. You know, like you need time to rest, and you just kick ass. So give yourself a little pat on the back when you're having that time. You're allowed to sit down, Patrick.
Yeah, I'm slowly trying to learn that, but
mm-hmm.
not yet. We'll get there, but we're not there yet.
Got stuff to do still.
Yes.
Yes. Of which.
Yeah. And yeah. But, and so like on that, I think going back to where I was with the kind of professional-ish production schedule,
mm-hmm.
was like while essentially Misfire was sitting in, you know, basically ready to get released, I was still writing. And so that was in the time during like the whatever it's called, quarantine period, where I wasn't back to work yet, and so I was kind of just at home every day, and I had to find something to do. And where I'd kind of started, you know, I pushed myself to try and write a song every day for like a month, and that mm-hmm. worked out, because one thing I do is I'll like start writing a song and be like, oh, that's shit, and then drop it. But then like in the act of like finishing out the song, I'll see where it goes, and then sometimes there's going to be pieces that I like, pieces that I don't like about it. And so from there, I actually wrote at least two of the songs on this EP, if not three of them all in within that month, I think.
Hey.
I'm trying to remember where. Yeah, at least three, I'm pretty sure. And then I think maybe it was all four, I don't even know, but still, it was they're all in there, and it was all written then. And so then like the other EP hadn't come out yet, and then, you know, went through all those phases, and then I recorded that, and then now I've actually been writing a whole bunch too, and now I'm at a point where I'm just like already ready to hop back and like record the next thing. So it's kind of exciting to have, you know, these songs that I've written, and like unfortunately, like, I haven't been able to go out and, like, perform them all the time like I would have liked to.
Mm-hmm.
But I have actually been able to go out and, you know, perform them more than I guess I expected I might be able to this past year, which has been super exciting. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, so I'm pretty much already planning and ready to start recording the next batch, and I'm pretty excited about that. So, and I'm excited to see how this EP does. And it's also just exciting and fulfilling to kind of watch like my ability to record and mix kind of get better from release to release.
Mm-hmm.
And then also a big old shout out to Mickey Pastillion, who has mastered like the last five songs for Maddie's Change, and then all of the Morning Honey stuff that I've sent him, not including the weird little demo comp that I just released last year. But he does some incredible work. So thanks, Mickey. And yeah, and also with that, like, I got to shoot like the most professional music video I've ever been a part of, which was super exciting because we got to, which honestly, like, if we hadn't been doing this podcast, I probably wouldn't have completely followed through on, which was because I'd seen like Jeevan's work, you know, his photography and some videography that he'd posted. And I'm pretty sure I like tweeted at him or messaged him. I was like, oh, I'd love to work with you sometime. And it was, you know, like, it's very genuine, and it's like I did want to work with him, but I think that being able to continuously talk about art and stuff actually was kind of the last thing that pushed me to be like, let's make this happen. And so he came out and shot this music video that's coming out, that will be out. And actually Miranda was the kind of my co-star who acted with me, so it was just a whole podcast extravaganza. And Mackenzie did the artwork for this one. You did the artwork for the last EP. It's just been, everyone has been involved all around. It's been exciting. It's all come very full circle.
Circle is definitely a word for it, I think, because like the circles have just kind of gotten bigger, and I really like respect you for like playing in our pond and taking the people that we know and working with them, because of course we could go and explore and meet new people and work with new people, but strengthening our bonds together I think is really like important, and talking about that community thing that we would dive into so much, that we're like artists making art alongside each other or with each other, like straight up like collaborating on like your music video and stuff, which I think is a really good testament to things that we can do if we respect ourselves, each other enough, and just have enough of a fucking let's do it to get something done, you know?
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah, this year has been like, I feel like, you know, the past couple weeks or month have been kind of iffy for me, but I feel like there's just been so much going right that, you know, sometimes it takes just being able to sit down and talk about everything that did get done this year. Like, we got that. And then on top of that, just to expand the amount of people who are involved with this pond is, like, Ethan's involved in the EP release show coming up. And on top of that, Liv is going to be there to do some show photography for it. Hey. So, like, we've got everybody there. So
squad up.
Yep. And Miranda's the one who painted the, you know, the jacket I wore on and the music video, and then I have a and patch that you made your, on there, and, like, and she did the suitcase, yes.
Yeah.
And then,
good team.
And then I have a patch that Cameron made on my jacket, and then I have a patch that you made on there, so it's just, it feels very, you know, collective.
Yeah. Man, I fucking love that, because we can think that we exist and make art by ourselves, but there's, we're everywhere, you know? There is, back in the day, there was this, I don't know if I mentioned, but it's one of my favorite things where, I was in this circle of like Sparkle and Scene Dogs. If you know what I'm talking about, you know, but if you know, don't worry about it. And, there is, someone posted this piece and it's like the picture of their character, and because everyone's like, oh, that's not original, this isn't that, like you're ripping off other people. And it's like, I am not myself unique. I am like an accumulation of everything and everyone I've ever met, you know? Like, we make art together, whether we like it or not, you know? I think we should like it. We should like it, or try to, or appreciate it, things like that.
Yeah, yeah, I also like the, you know, talking, I kind of want to talk more about that idea of like, I am not uniquely original, because I think that's one thing that I used to get hung up on all the time.
Yeah.
And then also now I'm just like, I'm fucking marketing myself as a ripoff, which and I think I had a really good, I think it was Sean, who is the drummer for Wendigo, I believe him and I were talking, which we're definitely gonna get them on the show.
Yes.
They want to be on the show. So I'm excited about that.
We have demand.
And I think that, I can't remember, I want to say it was him, maybe it was just I'm pretty sure it was him, but he had mentioned, or maybe this was Zane, I don't even know. I was talking to somebody that I have been able to do musical things with, and they had mentioned, you know, essentially, as a band or like a musician, at least, you kind of just start off trying to sound exactly like the person that you, like your idols that you want to be.
Right.
And then eventually from there, your own twist comes from that, and you're just like, people are basically like, you're not quite that person, but I like what you're doing, and then your own sound is born, which is kind of how it goes. Like, you can look at a lot of bands where they start off trying to be like you can tell that they're trying to imitate another band's sound, which is there's no problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very, you know, it's a good starting place. It's a very, like, kind of youthful thing, youthful approach. I'm absolutely guilty of that. As in high school, I used to kind of do this thing where I would, like, really, really imitate Tom DeLonge's voice, which is, in hindsight, really bad and rough. But we made it here, and now I don't sing weird like that anymore, which is fun. So, but, I mean, you just start there, and then you develop your own kind of sound, and your tastes change. And, like, we've kind of talked about this a little bit, is, like, I love the band Paramore, because you can really watch them, and Haley, all of her solo stuff, too, on top of that. It's just all incredible, and you can really see, like, a very clear, you know, growth from the teenage band into what they are now. And, like, the sounds are completely different, and I love that. Some people are not a big fan of that, but I think that, you know, going back to what Sar talked to us about, is just like with TV shows and stuff, when they last long enough, is you get to grow up with them and alongside them, and those characters kind of become a part of your family. And that's the same kind of thing when you get to watch like a band grow up alongside you. And I think that we also get a unique experience with that too, for bands especially like Paramore, where we get to watch like society and culture change, especially for Haley being a woman in the music industry. And you can kind of watch her slowly get more and more comfortable about speaking out and writing music about her experiences that were, you know, negative and sexist and misogynistic against her. That was kind of, you know, portrayed as her, you know, finding a way to get a foothold that was not a way that a man would have to go through. And so kind of watching her, and on top of that, plus kind of the destigmatization of mental illness and mental health as well, alongside with that. So I think that really, like, Paramore and Hayley Williams's solo music is just such a good example of growing up, and not only just as like an individual, and that kind of like makes me love that band even more and her even more, but also just like as a society and like culture and music industry, kind of watching it grow and seeing the values and kind of what is okay and what's not okay, and kind of getting a look under the hood as to how the industry goes and how it's gone and what we can do to change it and do better moving forward. And so I think that it's, you know, super fulfilling to watch that kind of growth within an artist. So, and it usually starts with, hey, I really want to, like, for me, it was like, man, I like Blink-182. Let's try and be Blink-182. And then we didn't quite do it. But from that birthed the weird, goofy meme that was Houston's Problem and Maddie's Changed, essentially. It's like we were just the weird jackasses who'd show up and play music. And, you know, still carry aspects of that with me, where it's just like, if you're taking yourself, at least for my philosophy for music and stuff is, and as an artist, is like, if you're taking yourself too seriously, you're doing it wrong. So
yeah, at the end of the day, you're a fucking person making art, which has always been kind of weird. But no, I'm thinking a lot about the Paramore thing, and like especially because you don't get to see the growth of a lot of people. A lot of people do their project, and for whatever reason, either the project becomes fulfilled or this or that happens, and you just don't really hear or see from them again, you know? But which is what makes Paramore and Hayley Williams' continued musical existence so worth respecting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, like, and you too, you know, you made music in high school and stuff, and you were playing music and stuff, and even when adulthood came around, you know, you're still like, fucking music is what I love to do, and playing with others and, like, making things with other people to pursue it despite everything that has happened to you and will continue to happen. Yeah. It's worth it, mm-hmm. I think, even if it's hard. But going back to the original point of finding and perhaps mimicking those inspirations, yeah, that's not something to be ashamed of. It's stupid if you're like, I'm actually Paramore. So Hayley Williams is ripping me off. No, but you guys can play in the same pond if you want to.
Yeah, and that's one thing that I think that was very, I wasn't sure, and this is also even Paramore related to, was the whole issue with Olivia Rodrigo and her song Good For You, and then they kind of, in post, like, after it got released, a lot of, like, they added, like, Hayley Williams as, like, a co-writer, and I'm not exactly sure what Hayley Williams' like, take is on that, but I think that, because some people are like, oh, it's just ripping off Misery Business. It's like, no, it's fucking not. Like, yeah, it's in the same key, and it has some of the same chords, and it has that same, like, high school angst energy, you know, the breakup energy kind of thing. Like, right.
That exists.
Believe it or not. Like, it happens to be in the same key, sounds similar enough, but it's not ripping off Misery Business. Like, the melodies aren't the same. Like, you can't copyright a chord progression. You can't copyright, you know, a rhythm, but what we can copyright is like a very exact combination of all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And even
you can't
then,
copyright pumpkin spice, but you can copyright your pumpkin spice recipe.
Yes, exactly. And it's just, you know, and even then you can sample, and like there's you know, circles and aspects where kind of doing a little bit of like a replica is, or like a basically like a blatant ripoff is almost just like a nod of respect and like acknowledgement of like, you're right. The inspiration for this kind of thing. So it's copyright law is an interesting thing.
Really,
I can
is.
It's very, very hairy, but also it's, I don't know,
it's tough, and it's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And also, at the end of the day, if the person you think is getting ripped off doesn't give a shit, then you shouldn't either.
Yep.
Go
exactly.
To bed.
Yeah.
Yeah. In this instance, I guess it's always that sort of like credit where credit is due thing.
Mm-hmm.
Paramore wouldn't exist without me ripping off their music. No, but you can thank them for inspiring you, you little bitch.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is like, with Olivia Rodrigo, like, that is, I don't think that there's anything that could, in that album or, like, that song that you could call as, like, a very blatant, like, ripoff or plagiarism, like, at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no chance. And so I think
is
that,
it the same album? No, then it's not the same album.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so it's just, I don't exactly get, and I honestly don't fully agree with, you know, adding Hayley Williams as like a writing credit.
Yeah, that's kind of an interesting twist.
Which it didn't, from based on what she posted, and this is also like way late to this punchline. This was all a hubbub like months
warm.
Ago. But
tea's still warm,
yeah,
buddy.
true. But it's just, I don't know. Like, I get it if it's, you know, oh, this could be like this. You know, it could be perceived as this, and it's kind of like a proactive damage control, like, sure, from legal aspects, like, whatever, that's not the realm that I understand.
Sure.
It's just,
It's just very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, yeah, taking inspirations. Like, you've been very forward with your Shaky Graves idolization.
Yes.
And with deep respect. Because, honestly, like, when you're comfortable with acknowledging that you're playing in somebody's field, you can have a fucking riot. I think you've been having a really good time with that suitcase drum, Patrick.
Oh, yeah. I think my favorite thing is that, like, it's just been something that's been, you know, what's it called? Kind of just constantly evolving with, like, my sound and, like, essentially the character that is Morning Honey.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, at this phase, I'm absolutely, like, just a Shaky Graves ripoff and not that good of one, you know? Like, my music doesn't... it's not, like, so central around the suitcase drum kind of thing. But, and also, I think that it's cool that I was able to get my own twist where it's just, like, this old suitcase that I bought off some guy from, I think it was, like, Kentucky or Tennessee over Reverb.com. And, you know, it's just one of my favorite things. It's got a lot of character. And
yeah.
Miranda was able to add a ton more character, and now it's just this super awesome thing. That's, you know, like, yeah, I just walk out and I'm like, yeah, I'm Colorado's own Shaky Graves ripoff with hefty Jack Johnson tasting notes, which is exactly what I wrote on a piece of paper describing my sound to get a gig at a brewery. So I was like, let's relate this to beer. So
that's hilarious.
Yeah, because the thing
is, tasting notes of Morning Honey.
Yes, there we go.
That's like the end page of your album. Like,
goddamn.
In case you couldn't figure it out, this is where we're at.
But I love how it's, yeah, I love how it's like started from that. That's kind of like the basis, because, you know, over like the past 3 years, like, I've become like very, very big fan of, you know, that kind of folky sound. So Shaky Graves sits in there. Rainbow Kitten Surprise. I love Pine Grove, which is actually funny. They fucking just put out a song called Alaska, which is,
oh my god,
pretty funny.
You guys are on the same spiritual wavelength.
I guess so. We'll just see what happens. But
everyone who's written a song about Alaska now has to do a group show in Alaska.
Yes. There we go. Actually, okay, so we have to get Zane on here. He'll be on here eventually. That, again, like, he'll be on.
Yeah.
He's my friend. I love him, and he loves me, I think. So we'll get him on. He is the lead singer and guitarist and songwriter for Gestalt.
Mm-hmm.
But him and I have talked about doing this thing where we wanted to get it going before everything got too cold in the mountains this year, where him and I kind of just went on a camp, would go on a camping trip and just jam and write songs.
That sounds awesome.
And so I would love that. But to take it one step further, one thing that I would also love to do would be, and I've thought about this one for a while, is to kind of get like a little like group concert kind of thing, like just out around like a campfire or something over the summer, and just kind of record it where it's just like a, you know, campfire circle of, you know, everyone kind of singing along to, you know, maybe it's like Zane, Tim, and I lead it or something, and then we each put in like a couple of original songs and like each bring like a cover song, and then we just have like this cool little like live concert album. Because like some of the one, like, I love gang vocals and group vocals and stuff, but I feel like I don't always want like the pop punk like shouting kind of thing. I kind of like the like, this is all like super driven by two very specific songs, and one of them is Rebel to Rubble by Wildorado, and then the other one I'm pretty sure is Friends by Bodhi. And they both just have like the Rebel to Rubble one has the Wildorado song, it's just got like this group vocals that come in, and it just kind of gives me, it's got like a, it's a folky song, and so it's just got like this kind of like, it just makes me feel like a bunch of people in a room like singing along. kind of thing. And that's the same thing with like the song, which is just a cover. So the Bodhi song is Friends, where it's just the guy and a bunch of his friends just kind of poorly like singing, screaming along to With a Little Help from My Friends by the Beatles. Nice. And it's just that energy is like exactly what I strive to like capture. I love that. And so that's kind of what I want to do as like a project, is like have a bunch of people go up and we just sit around a campfire, scream a bunch of songs together in the mountains and record it and call it good.
Well, I have to say that sounds fucking amazing.
So
because I think about the sort of energy that happens at Tim and Jenny's jam sessions,
mm-hmm.
and if you could bottle that and put it on a CD,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Also, yeah. Play Music in the Mountains, Howling at the Moon, sounds
exactly
fabulous. Well, sidebar. I was hanging out at Hannah's house, and I was just admiring her little yard, thinking about playing live music there in this little neighborhood in Old Longmont. Mm. And, I mean, if you're down, she's down, so that's an opportunity.
I'm always down.
If you want to play in a little neighborhood.
I'm always down for that.
Yes. I think it'd be so fun.
Mm-hmm. Any kind of... House shows are just my favorite. Like, seriously, the... Maddie's Changed unofficial, official-ish last show at Horse House.
Mm-hmm.
Rip. But just the energy there. Just the, fuck it, we'll cover Linkin Park. Why not? Like, that whole energy. Like, we didn't expect that to go well, but everyone was so... We were like, this is only going to actually work if everyone, like, screams along with us. And that's the story of how we successfully covered Bleed It Out. And, you know, when you get, like, a bunch of people, like, and that's one thing that's, like, the best thing about those intimate shows that I miss the most is just everyone packed into, like, this tiny, sweaty room, and they're just on the same page where they're just trying to get away from the world and, you know, whatever's been done to them in the past and whatever they're going through at that moment, and just kind of letting it all go.
They bleed it out.
Mm-hmm. They let it bleed. They bleed it all out. Ugh. But, and that's also one thing that's just, has me like so excited about this EP release show is that, you know, it's the closest to like a concert that I've, you know, I had when we were at the height of like Maddie's Change kind of stuff, where we were playing in like a venue and we had like a full lineup kind of like this and, you know, set times and everything. And I was like, I haven't had that in a while. And it's just like, some of the same characters, everyone just got jumbled up into different bands and stuff, so...
Everyone has beards now, yeah.
Everyone has facial hair, yes. And I love it, because, like, Liv's done tons of show photos for Maddie's Changed, and so having her coming to take pictures feels just right. And then having an Ethan involved feels just like, you know, going back to that, you know, the weird... wave that was like 2018 into like early 2019 for, you know, that little like scene of us where we were all just, there's so many shows, we had like a really nice tight-knit community and it was just exciting. And so it's exciting to kind of feel that, you know, get back to it. And also I think I have like a renewed appreciation for it too, like just with our episode with Ethan, it was just like I thought it was so funny when he was like, and I got to talk to Nate and Connor about this too, and when he made the comment of like, and like our first, he said that like the first show that they played with us at the Marquee, and they're like, yeah, it was cool to play with like an established band, and we're just like, what? And internally I was just like, weird. I would never call us an established band, and it's just kind of funny that, you know, you never really see how people see you. And at least for me, I'll always take like the most negative approach to that. And I'm just like, oh, well, I'm not as good as that person kind of thing at, you know, X, Y, Z. Like, oh, Ethan's so much better at drums than me, which is true. I'm dog shit garbage at drums. I'm not a drummer. But, you know, that, you know, that one was a joke. But, like, you know, the whole thing about, like, you know, just like, oh, that band does this really well. I wish, you know, I had some, you know, some aspect that people are like, oh, yeah, that's really good. But, you know, everyone, you know, there's a reason we all wanted to play shows with each other. Like,
yeah.
And, you know, that whole your own worst critic kind of likes to take over. And it's just like, at the end of the day, like, we play shows together because we love playing shows together. So,
yeah.
In hindsight, it's very goofy and just being like, wow, why you gotta be sad like that?
Well, no, it's like really difficult when you make things and you make things together and you're like, is this worthwhile? But like existing together, it's like they don't want to hang out and play with music with you because you're like, people are like, oh my God, you're the best person ever. Well, no, because you are the best person ever, not the best like person at what, do you know what I mean? They're there for you. Mm-hmm. And you guys are here for each other. Like if you wanted to masterclass everything, then what would be the point of playing house shows?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know if that sums up my intention, but you guys are good at what you do, mm-hmm. whether you think it or not, Patrick. you're good just being you and doing the things that you do. And I think a lot of people need to at least acknowledge that you can be bad at things and be really good at things and still be okay with just doing the things that you do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you only got these hands to work with, unless you don't, in which case it's a little harder. But yeah, I'm really excited for this EP so release show, because like you were saying, that's like a stacked fucking house.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna get a little rowdy. I'm very excited.
I hope we have a good turnout. It's gonna be fun.
Well, if nobody shows up, I'll be there. Just like, I'll have like a shirt with your face on it. I'll have a sign that says Hannah, and I'll have some like cards for everybody else, with deep respect to everybody else. But
oh, love it. Perfect. Speaking of, one thing that I thought might be cool is if we might even want to consider making some stickers for the podcast kind of thing.
Yeah. Suddenly creative brainstorming. Little mm-hmm. stickers with just a tiny little QR code on them.
Ooh, I like
that.
So
it brings you directly to where you need to go.
I have no idea how to do QR codes, but
I feel like it's like,
it probably has to be pretty easy.
Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. It's like generate QR code, print QR code, right? Mm-hmm. I've never looked into it, but it's been on my brain a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
QR codes, I never understood the point of it, but
I've recently started really fucking with them.
They're very useful. I think COVID is entirely to thank, because you go out and you don't have no essentially wasteful menu. Paper physical menu. They just a web page. Very easy.
Hopefully a well done web page. Not always, so.
Not always, but even if it's just brings you to a Google Doc that's just like, this is what we got, and you accidentally edit it. It's still something, right?
Hilarious. QR code group Google Doc.
And I love, you know, appreciate all these little essentially kind of like companies that are popping up to combat other issues that have come up, like with Instagram and social media, like making it more difficult to post links. This is just a Zuckerberg thing on Instagram where you mm-hmm. can't post links anymore. And then you have, like, I literally anywhere? Just made, well, you can on profiles, but okay. It used to be like you could have a link like in the post.
Yeah.
But and then
I just
you have
don't understand.
The cool little link trees, which are awesome and popping up and changing the game. So instead of having to be like, oh, I'm gonna have my Spotify link versus like my Buy Me a Coffee link versus like the Spotify link for the podcast on like my thing here, it can be, oh, here's, you can go to my link tree and then it has a link to all of them, whatever one you're looking for. So
yeah. now that you mentioned it, I do like suddenly acknowledge the existence of these things, because I navigate them and I'm like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are kind of useful.
Yeah, it's, we always find a creative way around it. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's also another thing. I know that one thing that we've talked about a lot is struggling for the whole, you know, and something that I've struggled with too is, you know, accepting payment essentially for my art. It's like, it's one of those things that like you always hope for, but doesn't always turn out. And so I'm also excited. Yeah. And for me, it's always been merch in some way. So I have to find some way to do merch and everything. And I think I have figured it out. So kind of to continue off of the next continuation from the Shaky Graves ripoff is Morning Honey is very quickly becoming a basically musical farmer's market.
Yes. And
I loved that. So like I've always had the idea to do the home roasted coffee as merch. That kind of went hand in hand with the whole Morning Honey thing that also kind of played into it as like that could be merch. And then I discovered fermenting this year. And then I made the pickles for the El Dorado show and I sold out and I wasn't ready for that. And I was like, I think I've stumbled onto it because, and I can kind of thank some entrepreneurship classes and stuff for this a bit. I don't want to give them too much credit because I did not belong in that program entirely because it was, you know, a bunch of people who were trying to become millionaires real fast. And I was just like,
I just want some pickles.
No, I'm definitely like a social entrepreneur kind of thing as opposed to like a, I'm going to grind until I make my first million. And it's like, not my jam, man. Not like, my jam.
Honestly, how exhausting for that to be your jam.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine.
But, like, don't you just want to like live life first?
Yes. Yes. Like, I make enough money to be able to afford to do the things I want to do, which is play music, climb mountains, make pickles, like
perfect.
I'm good. And yeah, and like that was one thing that I was thinking about was just like t-shirts are very common, they're very tough to sell sometimes, and I was thinking like, you know, I'm past the point where like in high school I would go and buy band tees, like that was the fucking thing I did. I wore band tees and like nothing else.
I'm a band tee bitch myself,
and now I'm just like, I'm probably not going to wear a band tee, so, like, what else can I make? Stickers and patches are never going to go out of style, so I got some new stickers. I drew and designed my own sticker for this time, and I'm so proud of myself, and I didn't expect it to look good, and I was ready to play it in to that, and it actually looks a lot better than I anticipated it looking, so.
Look at you.
Very excited about that, but the original design definitely... ideas definitely had like in brackets like sorry I can't draw on the sticker, which I think just would have added to the, you know, the authenticity, the me. So
yes,
but it turned out, so that's always cool. But yeah, and that, and I was also thinking like I wouldn't go and buy like a t-shirt anymore. That's just not what I'm into.
It's so sad because I can't relate, and I want you to make a Morning Honey t-shirt.
We'll get there. Just definitely I'll just make this time around.
It's
just that I think it's, you know, starting off at like a smaller level, it's like I can't, especially for like the solo project kind of thing, is like I'm not, like once I get more established, the t-shirt thing is going to be a lot more doable. But like right off the bat, it's just like the first thing that I've always wanted to do in like my past projects. And it just has never fully paid off, essentially.
Well, realistic aspects of making and,
yeah.
Making merch costs money. I don't know if you guys knew that, but.
Yeah. Yeah, and so it's like it's, and stickers are cheap. And also I will have coffee mugs that I've made and will be selling for merch as well. Because I feel like that goes hand in hand with the coffee beans. But also it's just kind of like, also, what's unique that you don't see at a show? Fucking pickles. And I loved it. And it's exciting because the thing is, too, it's also just like a premium item because...
premium pickles.
I don't sit here and like fully write down my recipes. I kind of just eyeball it and go for it. So each batch is probably not going to taste the same from show to show. So that makes it exciting.
Collectible on top of that. Pickles.
So collect. Please don't collect pickles. I made them so they can be eaten. But if you really wanted to, you could, I guess. Pickling is preservation, but just eat them. I think it's just exciting because then you can kind of maybe compare from what you remember them tasting like. So,
yeah. Ah, yes. This is the new morning honey era where you started using this spice. I love that. Aw.
But, I mean, and also it's just like I enjoy making pickles. It's a lot of, it's a very exciting. It's a lot of fun. So, it's, you know, rewarding all the way around. And like with t-shirts and stuff is like the t-shirts that we sold for Maddie's Change, the ones that were that moved the best and that we were the most proud of, didn't come until we had actually kind of gotten a little bit of financial stability as a band, mm-hmm. which meant that we just peddled enough tickets to make money off of shows and spend it on merch.
There you go.
So, which is the ultimate goal and financial model that has worked out very well. So,
yeah.
It's just merch is always tough. It just kind of sucks.
Well, I appreciate you taking this angle of taking things that you just like love doing and love making and enjoy and making that part of your we'll call it the morning honey character again.
Mm-hmm.
Because like, yeah, like so many things that you can make, but having a cup of coffee in your morning honey mug, waking up, listening to some good old MH and experiencing that morning honey. That sounds appropriate. And just keeping your brand on. I think... Oh, I was going to go in a whole different tangent, so I don't know if you had something you wanted to...
No, go for
jump
it.
Jump on, because...
Send it on the tangent.
Well, more like allowing you to hop onto one, because the morning honey thing... I know we've talked about it on that... little attempt at a podcast that we had. why don't we jump back in there, because I think it's a really interesting thing that I've been thinking about a lot is name meanings, because a lot of times I don't consider them to have deep meanings. I'm like, oh, that's a cool like name for your thing, that's totally it. Because even when I was making them when I was younger, I would just be like, oh, that sounds pretty cool, let's go with that. But morning honey came from somewhere.
Where did it come from? So morning honey was like a whole culmination of a few things just kind of lining up in life. And so it was just kind of like the original idea kind of came from, so there's, I like Bleachers a lot. Shout out to Jack Antonoff. Man's very talented. And so one of his songs called Good Morning, which is off of the album Gone Now. If you go to the MTV Unplugged album, where he performed it live, that one is, he kind of explains in the beginning of that song, which I implore you guys to definitely go check it out. It's a very good iteration of the song. And he kind of explains how he wrote the song from the perspective of just waking up and just kind of, you know, that's where he wanted the album to start. He ended up writing a song to preempt that one, where it's kind of from like the dream into waking up, and so then Good Morning became the second song on the album. But he had mentioned kind of, oh, it's that moment like right when you wake up before the weight of the world kind of hits you, and it's just kind of that, you know, you're awake and everything's beautiful and good, and then all of a sudden you remember, oh, this person's mad at me, this person hates me, I did this and I'm embarrassed by that kind of thing. And then, you know, and one of the lines in the song is, I'm in the in-between honey. And so that's kind of where that inkling kind of started. And then the person I was dating at the time used to call me Honey Bear. So that kind of had all of these positive, cute connotations there. So then like morning honey being that, you know, kind of moment before everything, you know, takes off essentially, kind of really played into that. And so it was just this... And it could also even be read as, you know, rolling over in bed, waking up, and just kind of like, oh, morning honey kind of thing. So it's just, there's a whole bunch of different ways it could go. And I think especially in, I feel like at least one song per release so far has really captured that essence. Like, I think that is kind of, to an extent, a little bit important, but, because, like, I know a lot of people who will, like, if the music coming out doesn't really match the name, they'll kind of start a new project, whereas, like, the name and the sound are so, I guess, kind of rigid almost, which is, in a sense, cool because it's a different project. It's, like, basically, right. like, instead of, oh, this album sounds like this and has this influence and stuff, it's more of, like, this artist project is the album kind of thing, and then all the albums underneath it are kind of closer to the songs, if that makes any kind of sense. Whereas, no. like, yeah. I don't know. And so I think that Morning Honey for me is kind of just something that kind of reflects me as a human too, the more that I've thought about it, which initially it had all of these meanings with, like, the relationship I was in and, like, that song that I was obsessed with at the time and just, like, that feeling. And I also really liked, you know, just I'd seen, who was it? Overslept had a similar thing, and I'd seen this years prior, where they had their, where Elias, I believe, when it was still his solo project, is he had titled it kind of being, like, oh, he wanted to capture, like, the energy of the jolt of just, like, oh, I overslept, and, you know, that rush to get to where you're going on time. And I liked that. And so I'm happy that, like, I like that. And it does sound like I'm just, like, blatantly ripping him off. I mean, I just, like, liked that idea of how you kind of described overslept, and, like, that's kind of the feeling, especially of, like, that first album that he released, was just that kind of, like, jolt. It's got that energy and that meaning, and his lyricism is just unreal. And then, but for me, with, like, Morning Honey, it just had all these, like, personal kind of meanings, and it was just kind of things that were speaking to me in that moment in my life. And so, and I think that it's also, Morning Honey definitely kind of has defined me too, mm-hmm. as, you know, I've grown and stuff, and it's kind of that whole idea of it being like that moment of weightlessness and trying, you know, no matter what part of the day you're in, or if you're sleeping or something, you can always kind of look back and, you know, be nostalgic for it, or just kind of miss, you know. It can also kind of be, Morning Honey can even be like that whole phase in, like, childhood, whereas if you're looking at life as kind of like a full day where you wake up and you're born, and then you're have that childhood aspect where it's kind of like that weightlessness, where, like, the world is good, everything's beautiful and crazy and wonderful, and then mm-hmm. everything sets in as the day goes on. And then also I think that it just kind of reflects me and who I am, because it's you know, I feel like I kind of give off at least a positive, calm, like, optimistic, dare I say it, vibe or anything. But then I also feel like, you know, with my music, is like I'm not gonna sit there and, like, only write, like, happy songs and stuff. Like, that's just not something I think I'm fully capable of, where it's just like some of my lyrics come out as just straight gibberish, and it's just me trying to untangle my own thoughts and emotions and express them that way. And I think that it's Morning Honey's that nice, like, you know, the in-between moment where you're aware that this weightlessness and this freedom doesn't last forever, but you can appreciate it while it's there.
Yeah.
And kind of just that grounded, like, you know, life's tough, but, you know, sometimes I get to go climb mountains and live out of my car, and that's great.
It is great. And so, and I just, yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like, and also with that, I've kind of, like, made fun of my song naming all the time. But I also think that when you had mentioned that, like, I actually pulled up, I finished writing the song, like, a couple days ago, and I think that, to an extent, some of the namings, like, I've almost gotten to naming a few things where it's, you know, sometimes it's lyrics, sometimes it's based around, like, the place that I'm at. Like, I have, like, this voice memo demo that is...
voice memo demo. Sorry, just had to say that.
Just have, like, an album for that, where it's just a bunch of voice memos.
The voice memo demo EP, excellent.
Where it's It's called Hartman Rocks Thunder, which I wrote while I was stuck in my car at Hartman Rocks Recreation Area in Gunnison. Mm-hmm. And it was like a thunderstorm and a rainstorm, and just kind of had to sit in my car and play guitar and call it good. And yeah, it turned out well. And then also the one I wrote a couple days ago, which I am so proud of this song. And it came from a moment of sheer embarrassment and just, yeah. But I think that, because like I, you know, these goofy names for me sometimes, especially when the lyrics kind of turn out a little gibberishy, mm-hmm, I think that the title, with it being kind of just like goofy-ish, it kind of captures the, what's it called, the essence of, you know, what I'm trying to express. Like, for instance, this one I think is like the best example of what I just tried to ramble on and say. Here's the coherent title for this acting title, where it's just asterisk, is aware of Phoebe Bridgers and gets too drunk at Thanksgiving. And so...
Oh my God.
I think that while I sit here and tell you and me and everybody that I'm awful at naming things, I think that sometimes those very strange names can actually like really help complete the expression.
Yeah.
So like, especially with that song. So yeah.
Yeah, I joke around that I'm kind of bad at naming things, but I think deep down, Patrick, I think you know you're really good at naming things. That's perfect.
I still can't get over the fact that also, quick plug, if...
Oh, yeah.
You guys got to watch Calvin Shepard's movies. The man's incredible. And he has a Maddie's Change song in there. He's put one, this particular song in every single one of his movies. And
oh, shit.
So, like, his movies are so good. You can go see Forgery. I think you can get it on DVD on Amazon. I'm pretty sure you can also watch it on YouTube. You can pay to watch it. Same thing with his movie Country Mustard, which is also available on YouTube. But he also just released Safe House 1618, which is getting at least nationally. It might be getting internationally released with... Sparrow Media is what he got to work with, and it has a Maddie's Chain song, and with it being distributed, I actually had to sign paperwork.
Legal
paperwork.
Legal ass shit.
That was allowing them to use our song, XX Base XX. Yes. Spelled just like a middle schooler's gamer tag. And that so is... our... Jackassery has been captured in legal paperwork forever now.
Yay.
And I was just like, out of all of the songs, Calvin, you picked the one with the goofiest name. Thank you.
He knew what he was doing.
But yeah, that song is in every single one of his movies, so.
That's fucking
cool.
Go
watch all of his movies, yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Calvin.
Any other closing thoughts since we're at about the hour mark?
No, just another...
Any other big questions?
Okay, let me see if I can think of a question before I just gush again. Okay. So, I don't know about you, but... sorry, this is going to get dark for a second. This is going to get a lot better.
Okay.
But when I was younger, I like a lot of people had like dreams and things, you know? Mm-hmm. And... in my adolescent youth, I was just, like, trying to survive, right? So I didn't have a lot of opportunity to come up with them. Mm-hmm. But I've got a couple now, some that are just sort of unrealistic because I haven't been working my whole life towards them or whatever. But, Patrick, I just want to know what your current pipe dreams are.
Current pipe dreams? Oh. Honestly, I'm not entirely sure. Like, honestly, I think that as long as, you know, whatever I do in life for work is, like, I... you know, under the current, you know, state of existence, essentially, like, I'm not always going to enjoy work. Like, enjoying work isn't always going to be, you know, something realistic to strive for.
Right.
You know? So as long as I can afford to do the things that I like, which is basically, like, as long as I can go climb and cook and play soccer and play music and stuff, then I'm happy. Like, that's what I want to do ultimately. As far as pipe dreams, like, I would love to open up like a coffee shop music venue, which is kind of basically just like a financial front to fund a music program geared towards helping give kids an opportunity to get their foot in the door with how to record, how to promote, how to run a show, that kind of thing. Where it's like, because essentially what my crowning achievement in life so far is definitely my basement gigs in high school, because yeah. We didn't have anywhere to play in Thornton, so we just played in a house, and we did it every month, and it turned into something. And so I would just like to create that kind of community again and, you know, inspire art and try and nurture creativity as best I can, especially seeing that, you know, art and music programs in schools kind of keep, you know, fading away and everything, and I don't like to see that. So giving kids an opportunity to express themselves, perform, learn how to, you know, the ins and outs of like little music industry things is something that's really important to me. So that's something that I would like to do at some point. I also love coffee, so that kind of helps with that aspect. And I guess also, like, as Morning Honey like keeps progressing, is like, shit, maybe I'll just end up with like a van and basically just like constantly travel, tour, and be like a traveling musical farmer's market through and through.
You have an espresso machine in the back too.
Oh my gosh, yes. Yes. It's amazing. We'll see. Nice. It's the pipe dream. We'll see what happens.
I really love that I asked you, what's your craziest pipe dream? And you said, I just want to do the things that I love and help other people out if I can. Oh, Patty. That's great.
Oh.
Yeah, well, well, keep doing you, bitch. You're doing great. Spent the last tear trying to mend the way you left me lying wide-eyed in my bed. Do you have anything else that you've been up to that you want to share before we do something else with the afternoon? I mean, you got stuff going on. Maybe I should use something.
You know what? I think before this launches, and I'm just saying this because, so I have a Buy Me a Coffee, which is if you go to buymeacoffee.com/morninghoney, you can find me. And on there, I have also I started doing this goofy little thing a while ago where I've been dabbling in a little bit of like writing. So I have these things called stupid musings where they're just one page thing with like the whole goal is just to kind of like capture like a moment and like emotion, not necessarily have like a story or anything, but have like a bit of a story there. And so I just started doing those. It's kind of somewhere between like prose poetry and like journalism. Perfect. Not journalism, journaling.
Yeah,
for me.
No,
yeah. So, I mean, so I have those up there as little extras you guys can...
A little treat.
Buy, I guess, which I hate saying that word, but they're there. And so I also think before we launch this one that we should get a Buy Me a Coffee for the podcast, because I think that would be cool. And I think...
Yeah, please buy us like, coffee.
Yeah. And I think that it would... We go through a lot, but I think... Like, with that kind of thing, like, it would be cool to, like, if you appreciate the, you know, this podcast, it'd be cool if it basically just costs, like, $20 a month to have everything up on all of the platforms and stuff. If it was just, you know, us and, you know, just toss a couple bucks a month, that would be cool.
Keep us on
there. There's my pitch, and I was really yeah. uncomfortable doing it, but here we are.
Please give Patrick money, and please also give us, yeah.
Yes.
I mean, do what you can. Mm-hmm. Donate. Don't give. But you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Whatever. Live your life. Help us live ours.
Yeah. Yep. All I need. What you want? Yep. And if you donate or not, we'll keep doing this.
Yeah. It's not up to you.
So.
But...